But human nature default is easier to say, I suck, rather than that sucked. Or somehow it's been put into our heads that it is the loser or wuss's way of being like, oh, well, you know, everything's okay because it's hot. Like we're supposed to be ridiculously hard on ourselves. There's a difference between an excuse and a reason. And I don't really know what the difference is beyond a whole lot of shame. Like an excuse is a reason coupled with a whole lot of shame that doesn't improve the outcome, much less the change the decision-making matrix of the decision maker the next time they go out. So yeah, I don't waste a lot of time worrying about if there is a reason or an excuse, because what matters is that we take all the shame out of this to really look at what's going on, focus on what matters, and have enough perspective to know what doesn't, and keep going.
Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast.
There we go. Hi. My favorite time of the week is here. And it's also my favorite time of the year because it's my birthday coming up in a few days. But celebration, as far as I'm concerned, started when the first present arrived at my doorstep 2 days ago. And I have been eating some of the most amazing gluten-free donuts I've ever had ever since. So I apologize. For those of you watching the live broadcast, you can see how lazy I've been. So I've moved so little. And I'm actually tired. I had a big long run yesterday, much longer than I expected to be in the middle of the day, which was brutally hot, to then turn around, come back home, and be met with these gluten-free donuts, which is amazing. So I've been moving as little as possible, sending my children to go get me another one, lying in one place. There's good. I mean, I had four for a reason, right? Lying in one place in one position on this couch, and it has been glorious. Glorious, glorious. So happy birthday to me. Send me more gluten-free donuts if you have good ones your way. I love a good taste test. It feels like some of my new friends in Denver are committed to doing just that. I could not be more grateful. This is my favorite time of the week where I take all of the questions and hopefully I'll have all the answers. If not, I'll just talk pretty and we'll have a nice conversation, or as pretty as I possibly can. My name's Coach MK. I'm the founder of the Fitness Protection Program. And this is my favorite time of the week, Ask the Coach. It's when I get up, put on my business pajamas, some fancy earrings, and pretend that my hair's clean. It is actually clean. I just didn't have time to dry it. Yay. So you get marginally big hair. Sorry. Normally you get like the really big hair because I take the time for a blowout, but it just took a lot out of me yesterday, man. So I tell you that to tell you this. I warn my runners a lot of the time against trying to make up runs. It's a thing at Fitness Protection. Like this is a creed. You will hear it a lot. We don't make up runs. It's one of the golden rules. Yeah, we got more than one. I know there's like everybody else thinks there's one golden rule. We got like 10. PDF's going to be forthcoming what the rest of them are. But that's pretty close to the top, and here's why. If you were trying to make things up, then you're not going to make great decisions. If you're not thinking very clearly about your run in context of the day and really where you're at, you're going to make bad decisions. Yesterday, I did not make a brilliant decision. Some could say it was bad. It definitely was not brilliant. There are these face masks that I have been very excited about. I saw one on the face of someone they really care about. Check this out. It's so pretty. And that is just not a reaction I get to have to face masks very often. Like, oh, that's so nice. I need one of those. So I remember seeing this on Twitter, and I'm almost never on Twitter. My Twitter has basically become an abolition account. It has nothing to do with running anymore. It's how local, in the middle of the protest, it's how local people on the ground keep up with what's going on. So I, on Twitter, saw somebody in one of these saying, if you want my mask, get down to Sanctuary Market. And I'm like, oh, amazing. I'm totally going to Sanctuary Market. It is not that far. It's at 1400 Lafayette. It's like 2.5 miles. Yeah, it's 2.5 miles, but I haven't been running very regularly. And I didn't get up to move until like 1130 and it was 91 degrees. I took a little bottle of water and I knew it was hot and I knew the sun was really direct and it had been painful the last time I walked out the door. So I was smart enough to wear long sleeves, sort of like a rash guard. It was designed for biking. It's thin enough to running in and it's not the dumbest thing ever. But trying to go for a run that you think is going to be maybe 5 miles, but is actually closer to 7.5, almost 8, in the middle of the day on one of the hottest days of the year, on top of everything else, which is probably not the smartest thing we've ever done. But y'all, I really wanted these masks. If you ask me, hashtag worth it. Very excited. All the money goes to Abolish ICE. If you're in the neighborhood, I think they're having the market another day this week. I've been waiting for this for weeks. They do not have them every weekend. When they do, go there and get you some masks. Yay. And if you go out for a longer run, this is something I'm going to be much more diligent about. So much so that when I came home from this run, I was wiped. I stopped. You can see my run. I think I put it on Strava. There you'll see the picture of the lovely mask. I stopped and walked a lot. Luckily, it was a Pokemon community day. And my son was like, you know, remote invite me to every raid that you hit. So pretty much every 10 minutes, I was sitting down in the shade, finding a raid and inviting him just because trying to go back in one swoop, it was too hot and it hurt a whole lot. And I was wiped out. As soon as I got home, I showered. I drank a whole lot of water. My family was very worried because I said I was going for like a 6 mile jog and I came back 3 hours later, which is not normal. And I was playing Pokemon the whole time, which would heat up my phone. And as y'all know, I use a BlackBerry. BlackBerry. And hang on to that thought because I'm coming. We're going to return to that at the end of this story. So I finally get home. I get in the shower and I'm like, boy, I'm tired. I'm too tired to sleep, but I am tired. I drank everything I could get my hands on. I probably ate a whole pizza. I definitely had a lot more donuts. And then I couldn't get up today. And I tell you that to underscore, that's what heat exhaustion looks like. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make sure you have extra water with you. I went ahead and packed a Camelback and got it full. So it's with me to carry tomorrow. If you think you're going to be doing extra stops, if you're using something like a trip to Sanctuary Market, oh, I can jog that to get out the door. Make sure you're a little bit better prepared than I was yesterday, please. And the next day, if you feel exhausted from the heat, give yourself some credit. This is the sort of thing that this time of year, not this year in particular, but in a normal-ish year, people will be training for fall marathons and their long runs will be getting painfully longer now. And I say painfully because most of us don't run more than 15 miles in one go unless we are specifically training for a full. So this is the point where the runs are getting longer and longer. They have surpassed the half marathon mark. And they're hurting more and people are like, is there something wrong with me? And they start getting nervous about their marathon. And it's like, no, some of that's you. Most of it's the heat. So a lot of it's the distance, to be perfectly honest. So there are a lot of things going on right now. Give yourself a lot of space and a lot of latitude and try not to read into it as much as you possibly can. And I know that's easier said than done, but human nature default, it's easier to say I suck rather than that sucked. Or somehow it's been put into our heads that it is the loser or wuss's way of being like, oh, well, you know, everything's okay because it's hot. Like we're supposed to be ridiculously hard on ourselves. There's a difference between an excuse and a reason. And I don't really know what the difference is beyond a whole lot of shame. Like an excuse is a reason coupled with a whole lot of shame that doesn't improve the outcome, much less change the decision-making matrix of the decision maker the next time they go out. So yeah, I don't waste a lot of time worrying about if there is a reason or an excuse, because what matters is that we take all the shame out of this to really look at what's going on, focus on what matters and have enough perspective to know what doesn't and keep going. So all of that is to say, if things are tough right now, if you don't feel real good, if the runs are getting harder, remember, we're in the middle of pandemic. There are elections coming up, I hear, but luckily I have an Apple TV now and I don't have to watch TV at all ever. So I'm not awash in political ads, which is fantastic. So there are a lot of things happening. It's a very abnormal year. So if you're having a normal run, yay for you. And if you're not, yay, you're normal. There's no losing in my world. And I don't think that makes me weak at all. It makes it easier to get out of bed in the morning, when in fact I do not have heat exhaustion. So here we go. We're going to get started. We're going to dive into Ask Away. Well, before I go any further, Fitness Protection is sponsoring the Fast Women newsletter this month. If you are not on that mailing list, go give it a try. There's not enough good women's sports coverage in general. There's not enough coverage of our sport running in general. So Allison Wade has decided to take on the coverage of women in a niche sport. And even though I don't really care about, and y'all hate me all you want, get mad at me all you want, my high school did not have a track team. We did not have cross country. I have no idea how long a cross country race is. Someone told me once it was 6K and I'm like, that's really weird. Why is it so short? I know and understand these things. I like watching the hammer throw because throwing heavy things is where it's at. That's amazing. Outside of that though, I don't really have a whole lot of appreciation for, you know, the collegiate Olympic pipeline, knowing that once they get to the elite level, they're not going to be paid enough. They're not going to have health insurance and they're going to be awash with cheaters because WADA sucks. So I will support Allison Wade in doing this because it is a heartless, thankless task. And I figure if we all start paying more attention to this sport, at some point, maybe it'll improve. But hey, we've said that about the police too. And so far, no changes. We'll see what happens, but we are supporting that newsletter this week. If you are not yet looking at it, go take a look. Or like, if nothing else, to see our logo. She is more prominent on Twitter than she is on Facebook. So far, I'm the only person my age that is on Facebook as often as I am. There we go. So with the weekly wins, moving into that segment, Char Gore says that in Runner Interrupted, I should be done with all chemo and radiation mid-September. I've set my feel like a normal human day as October the 1st. That is the day that I hope all side effects are gone, specifically the nausea, neuropathy, and fatigue, and that I can safely start running again, living for October 1st. So, surprise, Char, we are so excited for you. We are so excited here at Fitness Protection that you have made it to the other side and that Runner Interrupted has helped get you there. I always wanted to have some sort of a support program like this that kept people tethered, anchored, and connected, not just to the coach, but to the running community during these extended periods of not being able to run for one reason or another. So what we're going to do is we're all going to run with you. October the 1st is going to be an official thing, and all the details are going to be rolling out very soon. But I want everyone to please mark your calendars for October the 1st, because that is going to be a Char Gore celebration. We're going to be doing it live here on the Fitness Protection Facebook page. We're going to do a live stream, probably be rolled out into a podcast. We are also going to have a run in your honor. Congratulations, Char. We are so glad you're still with us. We are so glad you made it to the other side of this, and we cannot wait to celebrate with you. We too will be living for October the 1st. Over in Build, JJ Jensen has been hitting her strength goals all month in July. That is truly outrageous and truly amazing, because I have not done that. I didn't do it in July. I am a little embarrassed at how far behind I have fallen in strength. Strength is usually the easy thing for me. And I've literally not had, pun intended, the strength to do strength this past week. To give you an example, this is what my Tuesday looked like, you guys. I got up at 6 o'clock, which is these days unnaturally early, went for a run. I got a call on my run from people that were near a homeless encampment at an elementary school. The reason that this matters is because when these encampments are swept, the homeless people sleep on our running trail, the Cherry Creek Trail, which makes it dangerous for runners and bikers. So we've been protesting the sweeps because we want the city to actually do something about this and create a place for them to go, not go fill the running trails. It's one of those things that oddly, I haven't bothered to take time and like break it down and explain what this particular set of protests specifically has to do with running, but it's personal, you guys. So with that, I ended up halfway through my run, I'd take a detour. I went to the protest, hung out there, ended up protesting for 2 hours and having my husband come to pick me up. We had to go to the hospital to pick up a sleeping test for him and then turn around. Came back. I had to run one set of errands uptown, dropping off more supplies to the protest. And then I had to go get 4 fillings down south in Englewood. I get the 4 fillings in my gum line. I've got a receding gum line, and the fillings were to cover up the soft parts of my root so I don't have to get a root canal anytime soon. It was amazing. So with a frozen face then, as I'm coming back, I get a phone call from someone who is in a DV situation and literally is ready to escape like right then and needs a lift to the shelter. I pick her up, take her to the shelter where I finally get to my 4 o'clock meeting. and I'm home feeding my kids dinner by 6:30. So I mentioned this because when I got home, the first thing my husband said was, I'm still wearing my running clothes from 6 a.m. this morning, mind you. He's like, so what'd you do today? I took one look at him and I just stared. I'm like, I don't even know how to answer your question right now, because any piece of this sounds insane. Putting it all together in before 5 p.m. sounds insane-er somehow. That was Tuesday. So if you've been hitting your strength goals, days like that, I come in and I'm like, I'm not standing on my slack block. I'm not picking up a weight. I'm going to sit on this couch and eat a donut. It's going to be glorious self-care. So if you've been hitting your goals and any part of your life feels normal right now, I really want you to smile and celebrate that, because for so many of us, we are in, like, if it can feel a little bit like the Twilight Zone. I'm not going to lie to you. But yay, Crown Buddies. Oh my gosh, temp cap number 13. I feel for you. I don't, is that what this is called? It's not like a all over. I thought a crown went all over your tooth. I've been very fortunate that these are the first sets of fillings that I've ever had. And I was not prepared for the frozen face that I had for the rest of the day. It did lighten the mood when I picked up the DV victim and helped her get checked into the shelter, because, you know, seeing MK trying to talk but completely unable to, I think it's something people dream of, but never really get to experience in real life. So it was quite an amusing moment there. But moving on, congratulations, JJ Jensen, for hitting your goals. I don't even have goals at this point. My goals are like, I have to get through the day. I would love to get back to the point where I could have strength goals again. So I guess that's my goal. My goal is to have your goals, Jen Jensen. Congratulations. In rebuild, Dr. Amanda Bailey completed her 90-minute avocado toast while on a call. Woo, that's amazing. She managed to talk to worried parents while still completing her run. Thank you for all that you do. I'm sure all kinds of worried parents right now are lighting up. I know we got several pediatricians and medical professionals in here. I can only imagine what you're going through right now. We have been having a lot of these same conversations ourselves. A lot of worried parents right now aren't quite sure whether or not to send their kids back to school. Those of us in protest land, we've been getting COVID tests weekly and doing the best that we can, well aware that not wanting to send our kids back to school might be a little bit hypocritical. Same time, most of what we're doing is outdoors, not indoors. So even I had a moment where I was like, I don't know that this is the best idea to send our children back into an enclosed space during time of COVID, on top of the fact of what I could be bringing home when I go out to these things. So I think the nature of what I do and how I do is going to be changing relatively quickly in the name of public health, so that something can get back to normal for our children. So TLDR, thank you for all that you do, for talking to the parents like me who come in with like the out there questions, and everybody else who is just trying to figure out how to make the best choice in that moment on a case-by-case basis. Thank you for all that you do. Kristen Frazier is really proud of all the work her family did on their home this month. She said, it feels like I'm finally comfortable in the house that we've lived in for almost 20 years. Amazing what some paint, junk, purging, rearranging, and minor upgrades can do. It truly is, right? Oh my gosh. Now, I also have to say congratulations to Kristen Frazier, who, of all the people I know, who started the quarantine out with like, I'm going to learn a language and bake all these breads and read every book. I've managed to read Midnight Sun in the Twilight series. Yay. And not much else. And you redid your house. Congratulations. Christine Lancaster completed lane two the whole month. That is huge. Christine has been plagued with injuries for a very long time. Some of them a nerve injury that is recurring. So this is a really big deal and super duper satisfying. Congratulations, Christine. I'm thrilled for you. This September makes 3 years from when she stopped running due to injury, and it has been a long, slow road back. She said the hardest part of lane two is really all mental and the idea that I could run in blocks of time without walking as well. Anyway, I'm so pleased and proud of how the month has gone. Even though you haven't heard from me enough, Christine, I promise I'm proud of you too. My BlackBerry has officially melted, and I forgot to circle back to that earlier. My BlackBerry's toast. It's been too many days in the sun. And this evening, we're going to be laying it to rest so that I can have a smartphone to do the one thing that BlackBerry's always did best, which is email. And I'm going to be trying to do this on an iPhone. So later this evening, I will become officially an iPhone user. BlackBerry will be gone. Sad day. You'll either be hearing way less from me because I can't type on it, or way more because I figured Siri has decided she can understand my accent now. She still can't quite with the Apple TV. Friggin' Siri. Racist. Just kidding. No, it's not racist. It's not understand white people. It's just frustrating. I have to use my professional voice for Serial, find the movie that I want. I don't appreciate it very much, elitist. Anyway, everyone maintain Karina Terry is proud that she has stuck to her running and that it's paying off. And we're proud of you too, Karina. That's a big deal. She posted a picture of a hill she ran on vacation that is a real butt kicker and has been her nemesis since she started running about 20 years ago. She's only been able to run it once before. The altitude up there is about 8,600 feet. Ugh. That's terrible. It's worse than Denver. She lives in Vegas at about 1,000 feet and runs in her flat neighborhood. There's a decent hill about a mile away that she will hit every Saturday, but it's nothing like this. She went slow and she went steady and she did it. Congratulations, Karina. Brenda Haskell completed her first month in Maintain. To do that, it meant she had to take good care of herself amidst all the stuff going on. And she does have a lot of stuff going on. You are never far from our hearts and our minds. You've been managing more than anybody else has this year. And I'm really glad that you're still finding ways to take time for yourself, Brenda. She completed most runs according to plan. I care less about like the compliance and more about, are you advocating for yourself? Are you finding ways to get out of the house every day? Are you doing one thing each day, 30 to 60 minutes of it for you? And it sounds like you are, Brenda, and I'm thrilled about that. Susan DeLeo feels like she's finally acclimated to the heat. Tell me your secret, Susan. She still detests it, mind you, but she can hack it. Sometimes she doesn't call her run a run, though. She tells herself, I'm listening to an audiobook or I'm catching up on a podcast. That sounds pretty cool. I just saw this. The BlackBerry was great for Brick Breaker. It really was. I'm gonna miss it. I've also gotten a glimpse into how Pokemon Go behaves on an iPhone. And I got to say, it's better on an Android. I don't know. We'll see how long this lasts, you guys. We'll see. But BlackBerry's just made it impossible to continue. So that is a good strategy there, Susan. I've never really been one for audiobooks. I get too deep inside my own head when I go for runs. But I'm also behind on podcasts. The only podcast I've been paying any attention to is Still Processing. Feels like everything else has fallen to the wayside recently. There you go. Maybe that's a trick I'll have to do, finding time to do that for myself. Nicole Wood celebrated her daughter's 13th birthday. Happy birthday to your daughter, a Leo, just like me. Yay! Emily Sorensen finished her solo half marathon. She opted not to race it because of high heat and humidity forecasted, but she managed her pace and made it through. She reports that running a half in July is hard. Uh-huh. But I did it. This is probably the hardest half I've run, but I'm so proud I hung in there and was smart about my expectations. And the very next week, she managed to complete all her runs, walk on Thursday. And not only did she do all of her strength this week, but she actually did it on the scheduled day. Oh my gosh. And then she added in some extra loop work to boot. When she left for her run this Saturday, her husband asked her how long she'd be gone. I told him almost 2 hours. And he goes, 2 hours? What are you training for now? She said, nothing. I'm maintaining. I love that. I absolutely love that. Well done, Emily. Well done. Alicia Budd is proud of how diligent she's been with running and strength amidst all the craziness of life these days. Alicia has one of the toughest jobs of anyone in here. If you're watching this right now, her job is harder than yours. And frankly, we are proud of you too. And we're thrilled that you're still finding time for yourself amidst everything going on right now. Now moving over to the questions. And the first one is question in build. Like to first of all, welcome. We've got some new people in build. We have some new people in rebuild. Welcome. We really hope you enjoy the programs as much as we do. So first question in build. My question is about breathing. When I'm going about my run and I get a bit distracted, my heart rate seems to be at its lowest. But then I notice I feel like I'm shallow breathing. When I start to breathe more intentionally, the heart rate goes up. Is this normal? Yes. One of the reasons I tell people to focus more about what their feet are doing, notice how your breathing is, but don't try to control your breathing. Your breath is a natural reaction to what your body is doing. So trying to match your footfalls with your breath, the thing you need to control is your footfalls. Reason being, remember chai running, chi running, everyone was trying to, 180 steps a minute, little bitty steps. It's really, really, really unnatural. So when you're trying to force that, it can have the opposite effect of have you breathing harder and effectively working harder instead of working more efficiently. So when you try to force something that's a little bit unnatural, like forcing 180 steps a minute, or trying to force 4 inhales with every footfall instead of just sort of slowing down your pace to let that happen. Because when we think about pace and we think about effort, everything will fall into place. When we try to artificially do anything that's a biomechanical reaction, then everything's going to fall apart because you got to be super fit. That is a last resort. So I tell you that to tell you this. I don't think it's a big deal, especially right now. If you have a lot of ground layer ozone, like we do in Denver, the air is almost painful to breathe when you're outside. If you have a lot of pollen in the air, then you're going to breathe more shallowly, and that's your body protecting you as well, because it does not want to have to clean all that pollen out of your lungs. So whatever you're feeling is real. And yeah, your heart rate will go up, but again, don't make this about you. It's about what you're responding to and what your body is responding to. It's not about good or bad or weak or something wrong with you. It's like there's something wrong with July and there's something even bigger wrong with August. Okay, that's the question in build. Now over to rebuild. Toe yoga. Can't do it. I try and nothing happens. I look at my legs and my toes and my feet, command the muscles to move, touch the muscles to try to activate them, and I do not know what else to do. Don't worry about it. It takes time. Most of us walk around in shoes that do not allow our feet to do what they were designed to do. Our toes were designed to splay and sort of grip the ground as we move forward. It's part of the propulsion. I am a big believer. If you've seen, I wear the five-toed shoes everywhere I go. I do a lot of foot strengthening. I do a lot of scraping. I think of my feet as like the tires on my car. And, you know, you can't just throw anything on there and expect everything to be okay. We want our feet to be working well and we want them to be functioning. We want the muscles in there to be functioning specifically. Because you're not me, you are probably wearing a normal sock that doesn't hug each toe individually. And I know that freaks some people out. The first time I saw it, I was like, ah, that's so unnatural. But I'm telling you, I can't go back now. When you have something that is kind of pinching your toes together, and a sock will do that too. Still, there's a little bit of pressure there that's making your foot round. Then effectively what's happening is that a lot of those muscles aren't working the way that they were designed to work. And your foot is not moving in the same planes and pattern of motion that it was designed to do. So with that in mind, it's going to take a long time to wake those muscles up and get all the little toes moving independently. So don't worry about not being there yet. This could take a really long time, but it's one of the best things that you can do for your kinetic chain. And I promise you, if at any point you're injured and you go to a PT, they're going to say, oh, you're a runner, and they're going to show you toe yoga. So the sooner we can get into this habit, the better off you're going to be and the more impressed your PT is going to be in general. So where the 180 came from was a very small, and this is like anyone who's gone to graduate school or taken a basic statistics class can tell you, you always need to be a little bit dubious of numbers. Anytime I get a spreadsheet, for example, or they're talking about a variable, then I'm like, I need to see the R squared of that variable, the weight that you've assigned to it in this model that predicts the future. So if you're weighting something too heavily, then that changes the outcome, which changes the decision. So I'm that person that like, I want to see the methodology. And took a look at it. And frankly, when the first time it was done, Dr. Jack Daniels was just trying to figure out what all of his elites had in common. And that was the thing. It was that they all had cadences and that of 180. So that was what sort of spawned the rest of this. It was trying to identify the it factor or the commonalities in elite runners, as opposed to a predictor that becomes a goal to which all of us should aspire. That's not how data works. That's the opposite of how data is supposed to work. So using math to answer a very basic question is normal. When you've taken that and tried to create marketing pipeline and a business around it, you got to give it a little bit of side eye. So no, it's not you that's broken. It was really good marketing. Is it good science? I don't know. I don't want to say no because he's Dr. Jack Daniels, but he also didn't spawn this entire movement as well. So don't worry about the toe yoga. Do keep trying it. It's going to take a long time. People see my toes and it freaks them out. Take a little solace in that. Your toes won't scare anybody. So I had a hysterectomy on July 28th, had my post-op appointment today, and my doc gave me the okay to start walking for exercise. She suggested I hold off on running for 2 more weeks, which is fine with me because the thought of bouncing around right now does not sound good. Pre-surgery, I've been doing a hybrid of maintain and rebuild, running with heart rate under 140 for time specified in rebuild, alternating lane 1 and 2, depending on how I felt any given day. Proud of you. Way to make this yours is exactly what I want y'all to do. To get started again, I was thinking of walking the rebuild lane 1 for the next 2 weeks and then start introducing running as tolerated, following the workouts as written for the first few weeks of August and jumping in full for rebuild in September. All of this while, of course, listening to my body and adjusting it down if things don't feel good. Does that sound like a good plan? I'm open to any suggestions. Thanks for the continued coaching and loving through all phases of life and exercise. Oh my gosh, that plan sounds absolutely perfect. The worst thing you can do after surgery is try to force anything. What tends to happen is that a doctor will tell you you want to keep your heart rate under 140, reason being, over 140, inflammation is happening in your tissues. And that's the repair, that's fluid retention. None of it's really bad, but what comes along with it as well is the swelling of your arteries, the swelling of your blood vessels and your capillaries as they try to pump more blood through while you do the thing that you're doing, which we don't want capillary swelling post-surgery because those capillaries have been repaired. So you have the right attitude towards all of this. And that's why so many of us are told to wait 4 to 6 weeks after surgery, like, I feel fine. Yeah, but you can't see the internal sort of stuff that might not be fine. We don't want to undo any part of the surgery. So that is usually why we're told to take it more slowly than we want to and take things a little bit more easily than we want to. So hang in there. You're doing the right thing. Let us know what else we can do to support you. And congratulations on, you know, just getting rid of a uterus that ain't doing you any good anymore. Yay, you. In maintain, I was lucky enough to spend some downtime, really spend downtime on vacation last week. I was also able to get 4 deep tissue massages. Woo! Now, however, I feel every niggle and twinge that I am sure my overstressed body was keeping tight in my shoulders, back, and hips, which I'm sure is just because I'm finally a bit more relaxed. What types of mobility work can I do? And of course, I need to restart foam rolling to keep some of the tension at bay. The foam rolling is really going to be the most important thing. The other thing you can do, this is probably the best $7 I ever spent. It's called the therapist's thumb. And I hold it like this and I'll just sit there and scrape my feet. I'll scrape up my shins while I'm watching TV, digging into the little nooks and crannies in my calves and around my IT bands as well. And that's never a bad idea. So I would kind of like start there. I know that like for my shoulders, I've had to go back and unglue a lot here underneath my armpits because that's where I carry a lot of tension too. It's also where I have to carry children who just decide that they are done being outside. HRH baby Violet does not like sunshine very much. She prefers to be carried, thank you, with an umbrella. My gosh, I don't even know where she gets these ideas. The only thing she wants to watch is Moana, and there was no parasol in Moana, but whatever. So I tell you all that to tell you this. The foam rolling is going to be some of the best stuff you can do for your back. There are also, called the Theracane. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a big cane with 2 large golf balls kind of at the end, and you can use it to hit trigger points in your back. I have another dense little ball that it's used. I mean, I like to use that on in between my shoulder blades as well. And finally, I like to take 2 lacrosse balls, tape them together, and use that up and down my spine. That's all considered the realm of trigger point therapy. And it's really good. It's some of the best stuff you can do. Finally, addressing some of the things that are stressing you out, because there are things that we are told to just kind of suck it up, buttercup, which is terrible advice. When you're sucking it up, you're internalizing all that stress. You're not dealing with it. You're actively not dealing with it. So that's the opposite of strength. That's weakness, but it's what we've been conditioned to do. Take some time each day to kind of sit down and think about each of those stressors. Even if all you do is say, fuck you and fuck you and fuck you and fuck you. Even if you're only saying this in your head, that acknowledge the thing that's stressing you out, acknowledge the thing that's unfair, have a little bit of a pity party. And I don't care if you do this every day, but we have to acknowledge those things that are stressing us out and not make it all about us. Because when we are like, oh, I need more mental strength, I'm kind of like, most people are pretty badass. I know some people that have more mental strength where they have strength that I cannot possibly imagine at this point in time. And you are absolutely one of those people. So don't underestimate the size of the load on your back, or don't rather judge yourself without taking a minute to estimate the true size of the load that you're carrying. Once you see how big it is, you might realize that you're a badass after all. And that's really what I hope you'll do. So it's hard to stay loose and relaxed in an overstressed body. But one thing we can do is help our mental health by validating those stressors and naming them on a day-to-day basis, by finding ways to mitigate the stress, or, you know, you don't have to face everything head on, man. You can pick your battles. This is the time to do that. And finally, making a little bit of time in the form of foam rolling. And if it's not foam rolling, then take the 2 lacrosse balls or a Theracane or a therapist's thumb and just sort of idly sitting every day. I know I will sit there and just scrape up my side with the therapist's thumb right now, no matter how bad my arms look in the mirror or in the screen, just because this right here under my arm tends to be the worst part of my body right now for reasons I cannot explain. Trying to like just roll my shoulders back, gives me an indication of how tight my neck is, which tells me on any given day how stressed out I am. I'm sure your truth is not terribly different. Okay, thanks for the tip on Martin Hydrogel. It really helped. Good. As to the texture, I just like to give a shout out to all the partners of men. Thank you. Thank you for the acknowledgement. Yeah, dead on. Dead on. You are right there. And if you don't know what he's talking about, I'm telling y'all, you're not missing out on anything. Thank God we're not elite. This is what all the elites drink. Ugh. Okay, now that I got the goo comment out of the way, question about heart rate. I'm on week 6 of the dedicated AF plan and on the 20 mile or 4 hour long run, whichever comes first. I kept my heart rate average at 145 up to 1 hour and 45 minutes. Perfect. After that, I gradually averaged out at about 160, which I'm finding is normal for me. That's normal too. Even elites aren't expected to keep their heart rate that low for beyond 90 minutes. So the fact that you can hold it to 145 is amazing. There's always going to be a little bit of drift after that, where if you maintain the same pace, your body's going to be working harder. I usually encourage people to back off the pace a little bit, not to the point that you're walking and that you hate what you do, and that all of a sudden you go from getting like 6 miles an hour to 2 miles an hour in the blazing heat. That's not efficient. But, you know, just sort of keeping those trade-offs in mind. At the end of the day, what I'm trying to do with these training plans is teach you guys pacing by helping you triangulate distance, effort, and time, which are three, to most runners, believe it or not, completely uncorrelated data points, which is a little frustrating because then it makes it really hard to pace and it makes it really hard to explain a race strategy. So you're learning what I need you to learn when you're figuring that out. So yeah, your heart rate is going to drift upwards. It's going to drift upwards, period, because it's going to take more effort to maintain a consistent output. It's going to take more input to maintain a consistent output. But yeah, I'm not worried about the 160. Around 3:30, my knee felt a little wonky, so I stopped to stretch it out. I got back on the horse and felt fine, but the heart rate went up to 180. Since my goal here was to really keep the average below 150, I called it at 350 and finished up with an average of 157. It's perfect. As you taught us here, listen to the body. But I'm not sure about what my body was telling me here. Was my body telling me I'm close to being in danger? Though I felt good, this is perhaps a sign I went a bit too hard or too long. Going from 140 to 160, I'm not too worried about, but 160 to 180 and climbing seemed to be a danger, Will Robinson danger moment. If I straight up walked at that point, I'm sure I could have gotten it down, but I decided to bag it then. I'd rather be at the pool wishing I were on the trail than in the ER wishing I backed off. I think you're correct on that. So two things. Number one, I'm pretty sure Dan is the one who sent this question, and you just moved from hot, steamy New York to hot, steamy Durham. So you're probably dealing with considerably more humidity than you've been dealing with in the past, which is much, 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 much harder for your lungs to process, meaning there's less free hydrogen in the air for your body to work with. Sorry, free oxygen in the air for your body to work with. And you're also going to be sweating a whole lot more. So those two things alone are going to be game changers when it comes to heart rate. And that this is the first time I'm hearing about it is a pretty good sign. I mean, I went to Louisville and I was like dying on the drive. We got there and I was like, do I want to run? Nope. No, I do not want to run. Mm-mm. Not here. Not here. Now it's just Louisville. Where you are is hotter and sweltier. So I'm less worried about the danger. The stretching honestly could have done it. It's one of the reasons why I don't talk a lot about stretching or talk about yoga. And I will always defer to the experts there. Yoga, when done correctly, it's stretching. It's going to raise your heart rate because you're going to be putting your body in unnatural positions, but you're going to be doing isometric stretches, which will be cutting off the blood flow to your muscles and then releasing, which is all the blood then kind of rushing back in. It's definitely good. I'm not saying that stretching is bad. It's not about good or bad. It's like, what does it actually do? And it's that. It'll be a sudden rush of oxygen back to your heart, which is going to have your, it's going to send your heart rate soaring. A lot of my yoga sessions, my heart rate would be just as high as it would be on, you know, a moderate tempo run. Back in the day, I haven't done yoga in a long time. I got too many kids around this house. So, and you will be doing some of these stretches outdoors in the sweltering heat, in the terrible humidity, definitely surrounded by pollen. Durham's still a bit more rural than New York City. So I think your body's going through a whole lot of adjustment right now, and I just wouldn't read into it too much. I feel like you played this perfectly. I'm proud of you and the choice that you made. That difference in 10 minutes is meh. And what I'm more concerned about is the wonkiness in your knee. If you have not yet found a PT, I suggest looking. Duke University has, you know, a really fantastic sports medicine department. You are not going to have a shortage of options in Raleigh-Durham, in the area where you are right now. So I definitely go find somebody, because we just want to get on top of that. If there's a little bit of instability in the knee cap with the knee tracking, we definitely want to be on top of that quickly. If it happens to be coming from your IT band that's causing that poor tracking because it's too tight, we can absolutely fix that with some mobility. If it's having your boots recruiting appropriately or something in your stride that's causing you to stress that knee out a little bit too much or stress one knee out more than the other, the sooner we can get on top of that, the better, because knees always make me nervous. They don't make me nervous as hamstrings. Hamstrings, like when they speak, we don't just listen. We stop and say what you need. We do not mess with hamstrings. And if you have a history of knee issues, I would be extra super sensitive. So let's go ahead and just find a person to talk to in case this escalates. Now, better to be safe than sorry and waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for an appointment. Plus, now that you're there, the most important thing you can do moving to a new city is establish care. Get a new PCP, primary care provider, as quickly as possible, so that if for some reason you do need a referral or a phone call or a network, then we can already go ahead and start that process and get the ball rolling as quickly as possible. I know as someone who had to move 3 times while pregnant, it is almost impossible. They don't really care. So why would you wait on the primary care provider? Just go get one rather than waiting, which could turn a 2-day wait into a 3-week wait. For no good reason. Yay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. Good stuff. Well, those are all the questions that we have this week, which is fantastic. And as you can hear people getting on the website, go check out the Fast Running Newsletter by Allison Wade. There's a link to sign up. I believe we shared it on the Fitness Protection Program Facebook page earlier this week. And get ready for October the 1st, which is we're going to celebrate Char Gore and her recovery. And if you have time to say something nice to me this week, it's my birthday week. Yay! Would love to hear a little love from anyone in fitness protection. I appreciate you. Thank you for helping make the small business of mine come true. And remember, no matter what happens this week, you are coached and you are loved and you're winning at life. No one is doing better than you right now, because this is a year when everyone is behind. Yay! Have a good week, y'all.